Hi, I'm Frank, and I pastor Real Life Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this, however. Years ago, I was an unsaved, hard-living, young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me professionally, but inside, I was unfulfilled and unhappy. Here I was, living and working in the land of the Bible, excavating the palaces of Herod the Great, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but not knowing Jesus. But everything changed the day I gave my life to the Lord in Jerusalem. So join me now as I share my journey with insight and revelation into the Bible, drawn from the times that I lived and worked in the Holy Land. Let's apply God's Word to real life.
In Luke chapter 1, verse 45, the angel says, "There shall be a performance of those things told her from the Lord." There shall be a performance of those things told her from the Lord. Tonight we're talking about performance-based faith. One time someone came to me and said, "Pastor Frank, I can't go to your church any longer." And I said, "Why not?" They said, "Because we're of a different faith." I didn't quite understand that, because to my knowledge that lady did not become Muslim or convert to Buddhism or something. What she was talking about is that we're a charismatic church. We make no excuses. We're not ashamed to be charismatic, wide open. And I think she was going to a more of a denominational church. And she was talking about faith in a different way, not faith, you know, the way we talk about faith. Here's another current example. Right now, here in America, there's a movement among the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church to come against the president, so that nowhere in America will he be able to receive communion. He's Catholic. They want to deny him communion because of his stance on abortion, because he's so pro-abortion. And they want to, they're not going to excommunicate him, but they want to deny him everywhere the communion. And the, as the news people are discussing it, they talk about his faith. They use that word in a way I don't. His faith, meaning his Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism is not faith, it's religion. Religion and faith are polar opposites. If someone says, "What's your faith?" and they say, "I'm Methodist," that's not their faith. That's their denomination. What we're looking at tonight is faith, the faith that Jesus authored and finished. And we want there to be a performance, because that kind of faith, Roman Catholicism, Methodism, anything that you talk about a denominational faith, there is no performance expected. There's nothing to perform other than rites and rituals. But there's no expectation of the miraculous, of changed lives, of redirected futures, other than heaven. They believe in heaven, absolutely. But we're talking about a performance-based faith that actually does something. This is what astounded people about Jesus. They couldn't understand it. They marveled. They said, he even commands the evil spirits and they come out of him. We've never heard the word like this. We've never seen this. That's performance-based faith. And Luke says in the very beginning, "There shall be a performance of these things told her from the Lord." So let me ask you a question before I go any further. Has God told any of us anything? Has God told you anything? When you're praying, reading the word, and you get a revelation, that's God telling us. What's he telling us? There will be a performance of those things. When I lay in the hospital, tormented with pain after that radical surgery and being told that they could not remove it, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "You shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God, for I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction," I expected a performance of those things told me. That performance would be nothing less than walking out of that hospital healed of cancer, without chemotherapy, without radiation, and without any further surgery. And that's exactly what happened by the end of the week. A performance. It's time for the saints of God to believe for a performance of his word, but also to perform his word. Hebrews 11. Let's look there for a moment now. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Talking about the performance of his word. Hebrews 11. The end of the chapter. Hebrews 11, we're going to look at verse 33. Who through faith, all right, now this is performance faith. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Anybody here subdue any kingdoms recently? Anybody subdue any kingdom of darkness? Yeah, there are some kingdoms we need to subdue. Wrought righteousness. That means made righteousness. Obtained promises. That's one that we're rejoicing. These answers to prayer are obtaining promises through prayer. Obtaining promises. That's what we're talking about. Stop the mouths of lions. Anybody here stop any lions recently? No? Yeah, I think you have. There's a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Are you already half eaten? If you're not half eaten, you stop the mouth of a lion. Now, I think he's referring to Samson stopping a real lion. I mean, not a real, as opposed to the devil, but stopping a physical lion. Yeah, but we do face a lion. Quench the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was a physical fire, but there is a fire from hell, a fire of sin that tries to burn us up as well. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant, or became valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's in case the Martians invade. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, all of those things, whether it was the martyrs referred to at the end, or all of those activities in the beginning, that is all performance-based faith. Performance-based faith does something, creates something, changes something, makes something. Performance-based faith. Our faith should be performance-based. It should be active, not passive. It should be mobile. It should be on the move, doing things. Let's look at this first with Jesus. Let's look at his performance-based faith. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. One verse. I'm just going to do one verse. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That is encapsulating performance-based faith. Performance-based faith. Do and teach. What do? What you teach. You do what you teach. That's walking the walk. You do what you teach. If you are teaching the power of God, you walk in the power of God. If you're teaching answered prayer, you get answered prayer. You pray like you're going to get it first. You expect it. If you're teaching the power in the name of Jesus, you use the name of Jesus in power. Authority over the devil, you use the authority over the devil. You demonstrate it. We must understand that if we are sharing our faith with people, we must be demonstrating our faith as well. He began to do and to teach. Performance-based faith is saying it and doing it. Saying it and doing it. Saying it and doing it. We are all born again, which means we are different. We live a different life than we did before. That's the doing. The saying was when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The doing is what we do after that. How we live after that. So he both began to do and to teach. I'm going to look back at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, an example of this, verse 23. Matthew 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Stop for a moment. Teaching and preaching. Teaching, this is what we do. We may not call it preaching. We may not call it teaching. But if we tell people about Jesus, we're teaching and preaching the gospel. If we tell people about our personal testimony, we're teaching and preaching the gospel. But look what he does next. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So there was a performance of the good news. The good news is we don't have to wait for 30, 40 years until we pass away to come into the kingdom of God. The good news is the moment we're born again, the kingdom of God comes into us. The kingdom of God is within us, Jesus said. So we start living by kingdom principles, kingdom laws now. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. from the law of sin and death. That's now. That's here. So we begin a performance-based faith immediately. And his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, those that had palsy. He healed them. He healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. Now, what's interesting here is that the people that followed from Galilee, all right, now he's in Galilee, so people are right there, they're hearing. Decapolis, these are Gentiles. Decapolis are the 10 Gentile cities. So the word of God is very clear here that from the beginning, even Gentiles started to follow him when they heard what he was doing. From Jerusalem, this is referring to the people who lived in Jerusalem, who most likely were following the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they were hearing. And they didn't see this in the religion of the day. They didn't see these miracles. They didn't see these signs and wonders in the "I'm of a different faith" of the day. They heard about it and saw it in Jesus, so they began to follow him. From Judea, the same, and beyond Jordan, that's going to be also people who were Gentiles from beyond Jordan. So from the beginning, what attracted all these people? Performance-based faith. Something happening. Something happening. It's also in Matthew chapter 9. It's very similar. I'm going to go there just for a second. You don't need to turn. I'll just read it. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Those are three places we see teaching and doing. Teaching and doing. Performance-based faith. You know, when I was living in Israel, and I was after I was already saved, Pastor Mary Beth and I were living there, and I was working in Jericho, but I wasn't living with the Bedouin. I just worked there each day. And during that time, the National Geographic sent out a team to come cover the excavation and Herod's palaces and that kind of thing. And so the first person who came out was, I think he was the actual journalist. And he comes in a Land Rover across the desert, and he gets out and he looks around, and I wave to him because I'm the only one who speaks English. Everybody else is Bedouin. And he comes over to me, and he sits down the edge of the excavation where I'm working, and he looks at me and he says, "Man, what are you doing out here?" That's what he says. I'm like, "Hey, you're National Geographic. You're supposed to be real impressed with this." He says, "It's so hot and dry and brown and dusty." He says, "Don't you ever want to get a beer?" And I said, "No." And that opened the door for me to share with him. Now, this man went back to Jerusalem thinking probably I was John the Baptist, some crazy guy out of his mind in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey for all he knew. Then the videographer comes down the next day. The videographer is a woman. She comes up also in a Jeep of some sort, and she gets out, and I didn't even wave to her, but she comes straight over to me, and she looks at me and she says, "What are you doing here?" Like the same question, but in a different way. And I said to her, "Well, I'm excavating." And she said, "You mind if we chat?" And she said, "I'm going through some things in my life." She's just like, and I shared the gospel with her. And it was an opportunity for my faith to become active. And she asked me to pray with her before she left. So I prayed with her. And what I really want to do is pray for the first guy, because he was a mess. But I prayed with her, and she gave her life to the Lord. Now, other people, when I'm out there, people would come by because the road, the Roman road to Jerusalem, was just across the dry riverbed. And so there were a lot of tourists that would go up there, and sometimes they'd stop and look at the part of Herod's palace, which is on the other side of the wadi, and some would walk across the dry wadi and see what we're doing. And over I would get that question, what are you doing out here? And I was thinking about that tonight before the service, and I realized something. I am one of the few people in the world who actually lived with a culture that's dying and is not going to be anymore, the Bedouin culture. No matter what country the Bedouin have been in, they're disappearing. They're moving into cities or Bedouin villages, Bedouin houses. They're no longer the nomads that they used to be. And there are probably not that many people alive who actually lived with them in their tents. That's part of what I was doing, because a lot of what I bring to you in messages, I learned in the Bedouin tent before I got saved. And it made an impression upon me. The Lord kind of brings it up and shares different aspects of the Word of God through those experiences. Now, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's move on to us. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2, we're going to look at one verse, and I'm going to give it to you out of the Greek after we read it in the I Have King James. For it is God, verse 13, did I say that already? Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which works in you. All right, I got to stop even in the King James. For it is God who works. It is God who works. It is God who works. Where? In us. I don't think most believers realize God is working in them. What they believe is God is working on them. Right? Have you ever seen those shirts under construction? You know, believers, I'm a believer under construction. I'm not there yet. I'm not done, half-baked, whatever. Everybody thinks God's working on them. My Bible says God's working in us. That's a very important distinction. Because if God is only working on us, we need, well, okay, let's say that somebody here needs surgery and the surgeon is working on you. I don't think you're going to get up off that table and go to your job because the surgeon's working on you. So when God is working in us, it's like through us. He's not just working on us. He's working through us. For it is God which works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. All right. Now, in the Greek, it says this. It is God who is working in us to want to desire to, for us, to want and desire. So God works on us, in us, I'm sorry, to bring us about to the place where we want to or desire to do what? To work or be efficient. To work or be efficient according to his purpose. Where it says his pleasure, his purpose. That means God's working in us with a purpose. God's working in us all with a purpose. What is that purpose? To do and to teach. That whatever scripture he's working through us, he will be doing through us. If it's the area of healing, he's going to be healing. Answered prayer, it's going to be answered prayer. Whatever we are speaking and teaching other people and showing other people, he'll do it through us. He'll do it. Here's the rub. Most people want him to do it before they teach it. You step out in faith. It says he confirms the word with signs following. The signs come after. It's a step of faith. This is what faith is all about. Stepping out and telling somebody who's sick that God will heal them if we pray. And most people are afraid to do that. Well, what if they don't get healed? What if they don't get healed? That's not your problem. The Lord says, he said to Ezekiel, I think, you say the words that I give you to say. Don't worry about their faces. Don't worry about what they look like. Don't worry about what they say. You say what I tell you to say. So we give the gospel and follow it up with action. We act upon it. Let's look at it in Hebrews chapter 13. Go to Hebrews 13. Back to Hebrews. excuse me, Hebrews 13. One verse. Actually, I'm going to do two verses. Start in verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought Jesus back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. In order to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing. There it is again, his purpose. Working in you his purpose in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, he wants our faith operational. He wants our faith performance-based. Now, there are a lot of performance-based words, you know. Old Navy used to sell something called performance fleece. I never had an idea. I didn't have a clue what that means. What in the world? It's fleece. What's performance fleece? It performs. It does something. It keeps you warmer than other fleece. But I've looked up. There's performance gear. How many of you know there's performance gear? You see it all the time. For some reason, performance gear is skin tight. I'm not sure about that, but you know, performance gear, it's like skin tight. And then there's performance food. Performance food. And performance food, for some reason, tastes awful. You know, I don't know what it is about, but really. There's all kinds of performance foods that you buy. If you go to a health food store, you see the performance foods. None of it looks appetizing. I'm sure it's healthy, and I'm sure it does something for you.
Energy.
Yeah, energy. There you go. Just gotta go get a Hershey bar. Gives you energy, too. And tastes good. Performance means something happens. There's a performance. You go to a performance. Can you imagine? You go to a performance, and all these people, curtains go back, and there's all these people on the stage, and just stand there. Nobody sings. Nobody acts. Nobody skates. Nobody does acrobatics. Nobody does anything. You just stand there. You're like, I want my money back. I was coming to a performance, and nobody performed. Well, how is it then that we have the Word of God and we don't perform it? How is it that we have something that's priceless and yet we don't perform the work that God has intended? Our faith must be performance-based. Now, how do we know it's performance-based? There's results. We get results. I've already mentioned answered prayer. Already mentioned healing. How about casting out devils? Years ago, some parents brought a 13-year-old boy to me. This was a long time ago. I wasn't pastoring at the time. And they said, our son says he's seeing things at night. We don't believe him. And we've taken him to psychologists, and one of the psychologists suggested he may need to talk to a priest. They were Episcopalian. And they said, would you talk to him? Because the Episcopalian priest said he needs to talk to a charismatic. So I was left alone with the boy, and he shared his dream with me. He said each night he would go to sleep, but he said this was not a dream. He would be awakened in the middle of the night, and outside his window there'd be three suspended lights, like orbs, lights. And they would just be outside of the window. And they wouldn't do anything except be very enticing and appealing to him. And if he invited them in, they would come into his room. And he said those three lights would then begin to speak to him and promise him power. Now, he was a little bit bullied at school. They promised him power. They promised him respect. And they said that they would take him on a journey. And if he accepted, he would float out of his body, go with these lights, and he would go and find himself in a cave. And he said in the cave there were hundreds, maybe thousands of others. He didn't see any faces. They're all bowed over. And they're all just bent over, bowed over as if they were worshiping something. And he said at that point, he resisted and he would come back to his bed. He said, but each time it got harder and harder to get back from that cave. And then it was the dream. And he said, I guess you don't believe me. He said, no, I believe you. I said, I believe you. I said, I believe that those are evil spirits. And I believe that they are promising you these things to entice you. And once they get you, you will not come back. You will be stuck. That's all the ones that you saw there were others who accepted and they can't get back now. They're stuck. They're there. And he said, well, what do? I don't want that to happen. I said, you give your life to Jesus. And I explained about being born again. And I said, would you like to be born again? He said, yes, I would. And so we prayed the prayer to be born again. Then I said, I want to take you a step further. I said, I'm not sure why this demonic presence is singling out you, but let's give you some power. And I explained about the power of the Holy Spirit and how the power of God is so much greater than the power of these demons, no matter what they say. And I said, with the power of God, when they come outside your window, you can say to them, I command you to go in Jesus' name, and they will instantly fly away. He said, I want that power. So I prayed with him, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. 13-year-old boy gets filled with God, born again, and then filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. He was so excited, so happy. So he felt emboldened. He felt empowered. He knew he was not going to have any problem from these things again. His parents came into the room. We were finished. We shared what had happened. His parents got very angry with me and said, we don't believe in any of that. And took him away. Now, I believe, because as he was leaving, I caught his eye and I winked at him. I believe he believed. And he would not have any more trouble after that. He didn't need a psychologist anymore. He might need one to get along with his parents, but he didn't need it for the spiritual thing. And I believe he was empowered from that moment. That is performance faith. He had a faith that was now he was going to put to work to resist the devil. And the enemy must flee. This is performance faith. And so, yes, casting out of devils, that's part of it. Yes. Breakthrough. Tearing down strongholds. Now, you know, we don't come against these castles anymore, do we? We don't have these strongholds built up. But in the spirit, there are strongholds. Things that we need to tear down. You might call them by another name. Call them roadblocks. Call them, walls. Whatever you want to call them. They're meant to keep you from achieving. They're meant to keep you from getting to the promise of God. And God wants to give you breakthrough. So you learn the battering ram of prayer.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and a pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, we want you to know that Real Life Radio is brought to you totally by Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but I would ask one thing. When you come to beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, why don't you stop in to one of our services? We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. All the services are located at 9644 North Kings Highway. That's in something called the Galleria. And it's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road and 17 Bypass in Myrtle Beach. We'd love to have you come spend some time with us any Sunday or any Thursday. But there's more. We also have services Sunday evening at 7 and Tuesday evening at 7. These, however, are totally online. In fact, all four services are online. So even when you're not visiting Myrtle Beach, you can be a part of our church. The web address is www.amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. I also invite you to visit our church website, which is www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. You'll find all kinds of free information, video messages, everything absolutely for free at pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is brought to you every Monday through Friday at the same time on this station. So until our next adventure through God's Word, start living that real life, resurrection life in Christ right now.